Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Online, sportingjournalradio.com. You can subscribe to that podcast in iTunes. And with the Podcasts app on your iPhone, makes it very easy to listen to this radio show from anywhere in the world, anytime you want to. This week, we'll talk to Joe Henry about the new Willie Walleye statue in Bidette. There's also a new app that helps you explore Lake of the Woods. So if you got a trip planned up there, here's an app that you may want to look at getting if you want to learn a little bit more about that big lake in northern Minnesota. Jamie Dittman's got a fishing tournament coming up that's maybe unlike anything you've ever heard of before, unless, of course, you've heard us talking about it here on the radio show the last couple of years. We even filmed a TV show with it, too, but it involves kids' fishing poles and big fish. So we'll find out more about that coming up later in the show. And we're going to talk to Josh Miller once again from Sport Dog. And he's got some more tips for us, too, for training young pups and just when you want to maybe start using training collars and just how old those dogs should be. More with Josh coming up right now. First, though, the show is brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. If you're still planning a trip this summer, check them out at haybaleheights.com or get ready for ice fishing out of a snow bear on Devil's Lake. Go to haybaleheights.com. By Lake of the Woods Tourism, Lake of the Woods MN has all the details on where you can stay for a trip to Lake of the Woods. You got this fall, you got this summer, or coming up this winter, maybe even a spring trip to the Rainy River next year. LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com. By Kruger Farms. The Kruger Farms Fall Primer is coming up. You can find out all the information at KrugerFarms.com. They've got a big sale coming up, the Kruger Farms Fall Primer Sale. It's taking place this weekend, July 27th and 28th in Starbuck at the Kruger Farms Pro Shop. Find them online, Kruger Farms, or go to KrugerFarms.com this weekend, the Fall Primer in Starbuck, Minnesota. And by Mid-Migration Outfitters, offering guided duck and goose hunting in western Minnesota. Get ready. Dove season starts September 1st. Goose season, duck season, when it's right around the corner. Visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com for more details. Now that we got all that out of the way, we're talking to Josh Miller with Riverstone Kennels in BritishLabradors.com in western Wisconsin. He's also with Sport Dog. And that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit, because when I had my dog, when she was young, I used the e-collar when we were in the field and when we were doing some backyard training. But there were times during that first year where she would just kind of act out a line in the house or in the backyard or whatever. And I had a few people tell me, well, you know, you should kind of maybe use that collar all the time, at least until she figures things out. You can use that just. You know, in normal everyday life. Now, do you recommend that to people, or at what age do you start introducing a collar to a young dog?
Well, you know, one of the things that I really preach with the e-collar is that it is a reinforcement tool, not a teaching tool. So, you know, if someone's out there thinking about getting an e-collar for their dog, and it's strictly due to the reason that, you know, there's behaviors that need to be corrected, yeah, I promise you, it is not a magic wand in a box. You know, it is not going to make all your problems go away. So it's really important to take that step back and really teach the dog first what the collar is and how to turn that stimulation off. Oftentimes, what we will do is we'll do on-leash obedience, and then we will transition into our off-leash obedience, which would then be with the collar. And the way that I really prefer to go through that method is I do not want to be using high-level stimulation. You talk about the progression of the technology and how these products have come so far, and it really has to do with I believe, the temperament of these dogs. They've really changed. You know, where we have, we talked, I think it was last week, on they're softer dogs, and they just, you know, they're not that hard-headed dad's hunting tool. You know, they're a member of the family, and they're really being bred differently. So we have to communicate with them differently. I remember the first e-collar I ever had, it was probably like, yeah, I don't know, 18 inches tall was the transmitter. It had one button on it, and man, when you hit that, there were acrobatics in the air, there was vocalization. Yeah, it just was not what they are today. Now, through the process that we like to do at the kennel, we really get to the point that most of the dogs that leave our kennel are working on a level that Brett, we probably couldn't even feel it on our own hands is how light we are. Now, of course, you know, there are situations we have to ramp that simulation up. But what's so great about the e-collars in general is that it allows everybody to communicate exactly the same. You know, think about, we have so many families that come over and we train their dogs for them. And oftentimes, and this is just kind of the way that it works out more times than not, is that the issues are is that the dog listens to dad great, but maybe, you know, pushes the kid around, or, you know, the kids around, or maybe wants to, you know, pull mom down the sidewalk. And oftentimes it just simply has to do with the fact that dad has the strength to make the correction necessary, that the dog goes, okay, I got you, boss. I'm with you. And, you know, especially for younger kids that they know that, you know, the consistency isn't going to be there. Or maybe, you know, like with my wife, you know, she's just, not that I'm a bodybuilder by any means, but I just happen to be, strength wise, stronger than my wife is. So my dogs will end up, trying to push her around physically more so than myself. But think about an e-collar. When you hit, let's just say you hit a level two, my wife and myself have exactly the same correction and the same communication, felt exactly the same way by the dog each time we make a correction. So what it's doing is it's allowing everybody on, assuming everybody's trained in on it properly, everybody in the household now has the same correction. Of course, I'm not telling you to hand your transmitter to your kids and let them play with it, of course. Yeah. But it is one of those tools that can be a great consistency tool, no matter what situation you're in.
Sure. Josh Miller, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. And we may want to just explain things for people, and it might be a good way to transition to the next part of this conversation. We say e-collar, they used to be known as shock collars, is what people used to call them as. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, I'll just take my dog around somewhere, and inevitably somebody will come up and be like, oh, why do you have that collar on that dog? That is so inhumane and it's so cruel to that dog. And I say, well, honestly, this collar has saved my dog's life more than once. So you tell me which is more inhumane. But like you said, the stimulation or the shock or whatever, you can, once they're trained properly on it, that stimulation level is set so low that, I mean, it's not. And the first thing I did is I wrapped it around my arm and shocked myself or hit the button with it on me. I always tell people that there she is. But I've done it to myself. It's not a big deal. And the levels that it's set at, it's never going to hurt my dog. It's never going to hurt anybody. But as technology has advanced, and maybe the term e-collar is more important than shock collar now, because you've got things like tone and vibrate, which I use, you know, hands down more than stimulation for almost everything I do. And we talk about being able to communicate to that dog. It is a communication tool. She knows when I use that tone, that beep, that, oh, hey, he wants me to come back. I use it as a recall. He wants me to come back to where he's at. Or the way I use it, when I use the vibration, that means that dog is supposed to sit down where she is at. So it's more of a training tool than it is the old shock collar that some people think these collars still are.
You're right. Yeah, the technology has just come so far that there's so much that you can do with them. You know, take for example, you know, the tone feature, being able to communicate with your dog via that tone. You know, we have all been in the field where it is, you know, it's sleeting, it's windy, it's, you know, the worst conditions possible, right? And if your dog is, you know, sent on a long retrieve, maybe that whistle all of a sudden cannot reach, you know, where your dog is. How now do you communicate with your dog?
Right.
Right. So there's so many different things. You know, I talk maybe a step further once in a while as far as GPS collars. I had a little dog from Iowa that I trained a couple of years ago named Pancakes. And Pancakes was named by the kids. I was
amazed. That's
but
great.
Pancakes ended up being a great – actually, I won multiple horseback field trials with Pancakes. He was a fantastic dog, still is a fantastic dog. But when Pancakes was just about, you know, 8 months old, you know, he went out to a pheasant field in Iowa. And he just, I believe what it was is that the owner had left his collar at home, but he was already there. And he said, you know what, I'm just going to go for a quick run. Well, that quick run turned into, there's a couple deer, which turned into, there's Pancakes after him. And I believe it was 7 days that Pancakes was missing.
Man.
And this is, you know, December in Iowa.
Oh boy.
Right. If we have that collar on, We make the correction that's necessary. And, you know, I can tell you that I get really attached to the dogs that I work with. So that was a long 7 days for me, stressful. I can't imagine for that family that has, you know, two of the sweetest boys that you would ever meet. You know, think about that household for 7 days. So this is where it's really impactful, where, look, these are not inhumane. And, you know, I still do get this once in a while, but the technology just comes so far that most people that have had any kind of usage or been around these at all, they understand that these are not what they used to be. And they really are a safety tool when it comes down to it. And for us, we like to look at it at the e-collar as the invisible leash.
Yeah.
It's nothing more, nothing less than that.
Absolutely. Josh Miller is our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking dog training here, Riverstone Kennels, BritishLabradors.com, and also Sport Dog when we talk about e-collars. You're a product specialist with Sport Dog, Josh?
Yeah, so I started with Sport Dog, just kind of doing some training, some store trains, because I was so passionate about educating people not only on dog training, but, you know, the e-collars, how to properly use it, and it was something I really wanted to share more of. I love giving seminars. You can probably tell the way that I talk that I get really, really passionate about this this topic. I love anything to do with the dogs, but this is, again, the e-collars are one of those tools that, if used properly, it's one of the best tools that you can use. But there's a lot of miscommunication out there yet. So I try to do as many trainings, as many seminars as I can throughout the year, just to help educate people on how to best communicate with their dogs.
So what is new with Sport Dog this year? You started talking GPS. I'm guessing there's some GPS collars out there people can get.
Yeah, you know, there are, and, you know, the Tech Series has been out for a few years now. One of the new things that's coming out would be the 425, or I'm sorry, the 475, the 875, and the 1275. So that's 75 series, and this is something that is really exciting, because it's something different that Sport Dog has now, which is a digital readout screen, and I think that this is really going to help kind of clarify for some people that have a hard time that, you know, well, everything else the Sport Dog has is three buttons, right? Well, those buttons aren't necessarily, you know, they're not named or color coordinated. So for people that are not around the products a lot, this is going to be a very clean screen to help you understand, you know, what button is what. But then you think about our culture nowadays. You know, everybody's looking at their phone. Everybody's looking at the computer screen so much that I think people just connect with that. So so this is going to also help with that as well.
Yeah, when's the app going to come out? Right? You're pretty soon you're going to be able to control your phone, I bet.
Well, you know, and I can promise you that stuff has been kicked around. I don't know. For us outdoorsmen, I don't know how applicable that's going to be, just because, you know, the last thing that I want to do is drop my phone in the duck blind. Yeah,
again.
And, I've lost many phones. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've lost many phones that way. But PetSafe, who is Sport Dog's parent company, actually has technology out there that you can do things like that. So if you're not an outdoorsman, just looking for a convenient way to communicate with your dog, PetSafe would be another option to look at.
Josh Miller, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. So digital screens for GPS, and obviously the ability to control multiple dogs with some of those collars.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see all the time, and I think more and more, that dogs or families are multi-dog families. So multi-dog all across the board, with the exception of just a of the price point items, the lower items on the spectrum, everything that you get from Sport Dog, you can add dogs to at a later time.
And as far as one of those cool features that I've heard about is being able to, when you talk GPSs, maybe you've got GPSs on multiple dogs, you can look at that screen then and see where those dogs are in relation to where you are.
Oh, and it's incredible. I mean, to be able to walk out into a field. Specifically, I use them on my retrievers as well. You know, that pancake story is a great one, but you never know what can happen. So just as a security feature, being in, you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, grouse hunting is a big deal, especially with my pointing dogs. If my pointing dogs get more than 20, 30 yards away at times, and the grouse was, I can't see them. So to be able to have that safety of I know where they are at all times, that's something that I never go into the field without it anymore. My dogs are as much as a part of my family than anybody else. So I want to make sure more than the birds, more than pulling the trigger, I want to make sure that me and my family get home safe. And that's a big part of it.
Sure. And that right there, no offense to grouse hunters. I grew up grouse hunting actually in western Wisconsin. But that's why I like to pheasant hunt, because I can see further than 20 to 30 yards. After growing up grouse hunting and then transitioning to the prairie and hunting pheasants, I struggle with going back and sitting in those woods, especially early in the year when all the leaves are up. I struggle with I love grouse. I love eating them. But, man, I like seeing the birds when they're when they're flying, Josh.
Yeah, there's nothing more rewarding to me than watching the dog work. And I think those of us that have dogs and are outdoorsmen, that's what it's about. It's not about pulling the trigger. It's not about how many birds you come home with. It's about being there in the moment and you're really having that relationship with your dog and watching them love what they love to do. It's an experience like none other if you don't have a dog.
Absolutely. I can't imagine hunting without one, even sometimes when we field hunt for geese, sometimes we'll bring the dogs. We might leave them in the truck and break them out for, when we have sailors or really long retrieves or something like that. But, I struggle with if I'm hunting and my dog is at home or not with me. It's just not as much fun for me anymore. So I love it. Absolutely. All right. Riverstone Kennels, BritishLabradors.com, Western Wisconsin. If people want to talk to you about training or talk to you about getting a puppy or maybe even talk to you about sport dog, what should they just go to BritishLabradors.com?
Yeah, BritishLabradors.com, RiverstoneKennels.com. You can find us on both Facebook and Instagram on both accounts as well. Be happy to talk to anybody that has any questions, or whether they're training questions or puppy inquiries, whatever it is, we're happy to help.
Well, I appreciate the time today. Thanks for the tips. Good luck with the business, and good luck this fall as well.
Thanks, Brett. Enjoy talking with you guys.
Josh Miller, Riverstone Kennels, BritishLabradors.com here on Sporting Journal Radio. All right, we'll get back to summer fishing. We'll talk to Joe Henry coming up here from Lake of the Woods on Sporting Journal Radio.
Summer's in full swing and hunting season is approaching fast. Join us July 27th and 28th for Kruger Farms annual Fall Primer Sale. Shop the tent for great deals on top fishing and hunting brands, plus demo the latest in archery equipment from Bowtech. In the field or on the water, Kruger Farms has what you need to make this season a memorable one. Join us for Fall Primer at Kruger Farms, located on Highway 18, just 1 mile south of Starbucks.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Shannon Foster, guest right now, talking Kruger Farms and the Kruger Farms Fall Primer that's happening this weekend. Well, happening Saturday of this weekend at Kruger Farms and Starbucks. Shannon, how's it going?
Yeah, we're doing good. Thanks.
Hard to believe we're talking about the fall already.
I know. People are already starting to bring in their guns and bows so they can start shooting. And
I'm pretty excited about it. I can't wait. Fall's my favorite time of the year. It's fun getting ready for it. And I see you guys are obviously getting ready for it there with the fall primer. And what else is new at Kruger Farms?
Right. Yeah. Well, we've still got a lot of our cabin goers and locals just checking us out for our fishing, kind of filling their tackle boxes and and the like. But like I said, people are bringing in their guns for Russ Barkheim. He's here. He does puts on scopes and sights and kind of helps with some cleaning of guns and getting bows tuned up. So
sure.
He's starting to get busy. Yeah.
Well, as people are getting ready for fall, and that's kind of what the sale is this weekend. It started on Friday. It's going on Friday and Saturday of this weekend. What is the fall primer exactly?
Well, the fall primer is kind of our annual sale to get everyone ready for actually for waterfowl hunting. We used to go to the game fair down in the cities. It just kind of got to be a lot of traveling, you know, a couple weekends. So we brought our own, kind of our own mini game fair here to Kruger Farms and Starbucks. So we call it the fall primer. Get everyone geared up.
Oh, I used to see the booth. I used to go see you guys at game fair, and I honestly haven't been down there either now the last couple of years. It just gets hard this time of year to travel as well because it's a haul for me too. I'm pretty close to you guys actually out here in Starbucks, so I like that. What kind of deals can you get this weekend then?
Oh, we've got we're gonna do 15% off store wide. That does exclude guns, bows, and ammo, but otherwise 15% off store wide. We're doing special pricing on some of our discontinued Sitka Sims, and we have some Shimano fishing stuff. I know that's not really waterfowl, but we're trying to get rid of it.
Sure.
We've got some goose and duck calls out, the fall decoys. We've got those stocks up ready to sell, blind bags, waders, dog stuff. Else we got going on? Oh, mojos. We're doing mojo decoys at employee pricing.
Nice.
And some of our new Sitka is in stock now on site, ready to be looked at too. So that's been exciting.
Shannon Foss, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking the Kruger Farms Fall Primer taking place Saturday, started Friday. So it's July 27 and July 28th. Starbuck, Kruger Farms. Where else can people find out more information about this, Shannon?
Yeah, we've got an event set up on our KrugerFarms.com Facebook page. I've just kind of been adding to that all the last month now, getting everyone ready. So we've got Wurstmacher's meat out of Morris, Minnesota here Friday and Saturday too. Saturday they're here from 9 to 1 serving brisket and Belgian waffles, so come on out for that too.
Ooh, delicious. All right, what time you guys open then Saturday, July 28th?
9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Very good. The Kruger Farms Fall Primer, Starbuck, Minnesota. Shannon Foss, thanks for the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Yeah, thanks, Brett.
Summer's in full swing and hunting season is approaching fast. Join us July 27th and 28th for Kruger Farms' annual Fall Primer Sale. Shop the tent for great deals on top fishing and hunting brands, plus demo the latest in archery equipment from Bowtech. In the field or on the water, Kruger Farms has what you need to make this season a memorable one. Join us for Fall Primer at Kruger Farms, located on Highway 18, just 1 mile south of Starbucks.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to that podcast on iTunes and with the podcasts app on your iPhone. I've been getting a lot of pictures through Snapchat and Facebook from some friends of mine that spent some time up at Lake of the Woods recently, and these guys are fishermen. One guy runs a tackle company. They fish hard. and this was the best fishing trip they've ever had. They tallied up the total inches of fish they caught. It was a million, I think. I can't remember the exact amount. It might be might be exaggerating just slightly, but it was unbelievable. One guy had never caught a 30-inch walleye. He caught a 30 and then a 30 and a half within like a half hour of each other, set his personal best twice on his trip up there. So the big fish are eaten right now up at Lake of the Woods. And to tell us more about it, Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism joins us here on the show. Hey, Joe, from the sounds of it, we should be up at Lake of the Woods right now.
Tell you what, you know, when you talk to a buddy in this area, man, when those big fish are going, give me a call. Right now is when I give you a call because they really are going. I mean, there have been more big fish caught this last week. It's just unbelievable. And, you know, it's kind of cool because as tourism director, you know, people might question, fish are always biting, aren't they, at Lake of the Woods? Well, thank goodness for social media so you can see everybody else posting a picture of huge walleye, so I have a little more credibility.
Yeah, right. And you know, it seems like the fish are always biting up there. And you got a big lake. There's a lot of people fishing. The fish are always going to be biting somewhere. But I've seen it too, Joe. The last week or so, I've been seeing a lot of big fish come out of that lake.
Well, I tell you what, it's just been crazy. And, you know, I'm talking big fish. And I'm talking, you know, when I say big fish, there's a lot of fish being caught that are 28, 29, 30 inches long. And, you know, that's anywhere between typically an 8 and a 11-pound walleye. Those are big fish, and a lot of them, I'm talking a lot of them, multiple big fish per day and charters. And then, you know, what you don't hear about all the time is all the 25, 26, and 27s that get let go that are still, for most people, that's a huge walleye.
It's a great fish. Slot fish. Those are, anytime you get mid-20s, those are great fish, and everybody wants a magical 30, but I'll take a day of 25s all day long. And what is it? I mean, you don't normally think of a hot summer, late July as being time to catch big walleyes, Joe.
Oh, you know, on Lake of the Woods we do. You know, we know that.
Of course.
Yeah, no. We have a set pattern, you know, and you know, I tell you, those fish are all over the lake earlier. You know, they're catching them, but they're all over the place, jigging them on the rocks and doing this and doing that. You know, now as the summer progresses, we get into that pattern where, you know, on Big Traverse and Little Traverse, those great big basins, you know, those are about 34 feet deep. And those big walleyes, and I mean, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of walleyes will get out there in that 34 feet of water in that basin. And there's, you know, perch minnows, there's tulipies, there's perch, there's emerald shiners, there's crayfish, there's just about everything. And they got so much food out there, they live out there. And they're very targetable because you can either pull harnesses on a very consistent pattern, or you can pull crankbaits either on, you know, on lead core or on a three-way or on a downrigger. And, you know, some people call it combining because you can just put those lines down and drive for miles. And a lot of times when you look at your, you know, your depth finder, it almost looks like simulation mode. You got schools of bait fish, and then you got hook. You know, it's really cool. It's fun.
Well, I'm pretty excited. I hope that pattern keeps up for another month or so, because we're going to get up there at the end of August, do some filming with Prairie Sportsman. So hopefully that all works out for us. Joe Henry here on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about Lake of the Woods right now. And, of course, we all know how good fishing is up there, and that's probably why you host a few tournaments up there, Joe.
Yeah, you know, we have hosted, you know, some tournaments this year, and we'll host some more as we move forward. But, you know, the Minnesota Tournament Trail is kind of a mainstay up at Lake of the Woods. They do a couple of regular season tournaments, and then they do the championship in September. And, you know, really a neat tournament to lead. And then, you know, we also have the MWC, the Masters Walleye Circuit, that came to Lake of the Woods for the first time here just a little over a week ago. And big congratulations to Ken and John Hunt of Minnesota. They actually took the top honors, but of course they caught some big fish. They caught a lot of really, really nice fish just under that, right around that 19-inch mark. You know, our slot on Lake of the Woods is 19 and a half to 28. You put them back. So you got to get your overs, and you got to get your ones close to 19 and a half if you can. And they did a real nice job. A lot of anglers did good. Heck, Guy Diddle and Marshall Monk. Guy Diddle is with the new owner of Rainy River Resort, and Marshall Monk owns Lake Road Lodge. Those guys, locals, they took second. And then, you know, in third place, you know, Craig and Kathy Fairbrand, they took third. So, you know, really a good turnout for the tournament. A lot of fish caught. A lot of the anglers that hadn't been to Lake of the Woods before commenting on how healthy the lake is, how many fish they caught. And it was a, you know, very positive experience. And then, you know, we also had something kind of unique, something new. We did a bass tournament on the Rainy River.
Really?
And, yep. You know, we have a lot of bass on the river that nobody fish. Is everybody is walleye crazed, or they might go, you know, up to the northwest angle and fish muskies, or maybe they're after sturgeon, but very few target smallies on Lake of the Woods or the Rainy River. And you know, it's interesting, they had that Kenora Bass Invitational, that KBI tournament, which is a really big tournament. And you know, I think it was last year the winning team came, they drove 90 miles through the islands and actually came down to the Rainy River to catch the winning bass. There are a lot of big bass in that river, and we catch them when we're walleye fishing accidentally. And we thought, heck, let's have a bass tournament just to see what happens and to kind of exploit it. Well, wouldn't you know, prior to the bass tournament, we got big rains, and that put a whole bunch of muddy water into the Rainy River. So really, for all practical purposes, the Rainy was kind of unfishable because it was like chocolate milk. Well, these anglers went and they fished the tributaries coming into the Rainy where the clear water was. So really just a very small percentage of the water they could even fish. My goodness, if they didn't pull a winning big out, fish in the B spots, they pulled a winning big, five fish for over 16 pounds.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, nice, nice big of fish.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as far as tournaments go, we got the AIM Minnesota Championships coming up. You know, we have the National Walleye Tour, the NWT Championship coming in September. I mentioned to you, we got the MTT Championship coming, and just a lot happening, you know.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking Lake of the Woods for just a couple of more minutes here, Joe. You know, getting back to some of those big fish right now that people are catching, are they pulling cranks? Are they running
spinners?
Spinners or what? Yeah, what are they doing up there exactly?
Two ways. You know, the main way they're catching fish right now, and then they have been for, you know, for the majority of the last few weeks, pulling harnesses, crawler harnesses, you know, and that would be like a two hook harness on maybe a 2 or 3 ounce bottom bouncer, depending upon your depth. And, you know, a hammered gold blade, maybe a pink blade, maybe a chartreuse, or maybe golden orange. I mean, mixing up those colors, but you know, that's been super effective. Now they're still getting them on harnesses, but it's starting to switch over to crankbaits now. And, as we get later in the season, you know, anglers are pulling crankbaits out in that deeper water with great success, catching lots and lots of fish. Charters are, people are bringing their private boats up and doing it. And, you know, one thing I'll tell you is that the key is to get your lures down where those walleyes are, typically, which is near the bottom. And, you know, when you want to get your crankbait down 34 feet, yeah, yes, if you have downriggers, that's great. And, you know, some people know how to use lead core line. It's not very hard to use, and it's not that expensive to get into lead core. But, you know, one way a person can do it that's really reasonable, heck, a 3 ounce or 4 ounce bottom bouncer,
sure,
or even a three-way rig. And, you know, you put a 6 foot lead of fluorocarbon line with a shallow diving crankbait and you're in business.
Yeah. You know, when we fish for Lakers down on the bottom, we'll use two 8 ounce weights and get right down onto the, I know sometimes it feels like you're pulling in fish and your arms are getting tired just pulling those weights up, but it gets you right down to the bottom, right down to where those fish are. And you're obviously trying to get down real deep and targeting really big fish. So, yeah, getting down on the bottom is key. You're pulling spinners like that, getting ready to pull cranks around. Is that the same way people fish, like say up at the northwest angle right now?
Absolutely. You know, so up at the angle, when you're fishing, you know, some of the reefs and flats and you know, sunken islands and things, you know, harnesses are probably more effective because it goes up and down a little bit more. And that bottom bouncer, it's easier to adjust to the difference in depths. The crankbait bite normally is when you're fishing a big flat. So up at the northwest angle to the east side of Little Oak, there's a big area called Little Traverse Bay. And that's very similar to a big Traverse Bay. Great big open water, approximately 30 to 34 feet of water, flat. Roman schools of bait, and that's where you can put that the crankbaits on and go driving around quite a bit and until you find your walleyes and then kind of hone in on them.
Sure, absolutely. Well, like I said, we're getting up there in August. Can't wait to get back up to Lake of the Woods and hopefully get on some of these big fish like everybody else is right now too. Joe Henry, Lake of the Woods Tourism. If people want to plan a trip up to Lake of the Woods, whether this summer, maybe a fall trip. Fall fishing, of course, is also very good up there. You can do a little cast and blast, get in on some of the hunting as well, or start thinking about ice fishing too. Where should they go to find out more information?
You know what? You can search us on Facebook at Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, just check out our website. And that's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, coming up before the end of the show, Jamie Dittman will join us to talk about the Superhero Fishing Rod Tournament.
Summer's in full swing and hunting season is approaching fast. Join us July 27th and 28th for Kruger Farms' annual Fall Primer Sale. Shop the tent for great deals on top fishing and hunting brands, plus demo the latest in archery equipment from Bowtech. In the field or on the water, Kruger Farms has what you need to make this season a memorable one. Join us for Fall Primer at Kruger Farms, located on Highway 18, just 1 mile south of Starbucks.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Right now is the time to plan your next fishing trip. This year, make the trek to legendary Devil's Lake. Whether you want to fish walleyes on a summer afternoon or perch out of a heated snow bear in the winter, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort can make it happen. Hay Bale Heights on Devil's Lake offers year-round lodging and guided fishing packages, perfect for the next family trip or corporate outing. To learn more, search Hay Bale Heights on Facebook or visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman. And if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
You're listening to the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, 28 stations across five states. Also, the sportingjournalradio.com on demand. And then you can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or listen with that podcast app on your iPhone and get it delivered. In fact, I just got a little notification saying another podcast, the Sporting Journal Radio, available. Comes right to your phone, makes it very, very simple to listen to it wherever you are. Maybe you're in Brainerd, Minnesota, where Jamie Dittman is right now. He's a fishing guide up there. And, you know, Jamie, I was talking to Joe Henry, and this time of year, to me, I mean, historically, you think of kind of later summer, hot, bright sun, temperatures, you know, in the 80s. It doesn't really seem like big walleye weather, but up there on Lake of the Woods, man, they're slaying big walleyes right now.
Yeah, I don't think Lake of the Woods really has any, you know, a bad day on Lake of the Woods is still a pretty good day.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. What's going on around Brainerd right now?
You know, it's been a really warm summer and a lot of, you know, big bursts of rain. A lot of weeds this year, a lot of algae blooms.
Oh, fun.
You know, fishing's been a little tough.
All right. Are people, what do you like to target this time of year, I guess?
You know, this time of the year, you know, you've been beating up on the same walleyes and bass all year, and the muskie's starting to heat up as we get into August and, you know, the good September, October muskie months. And there are some nice muskies getting caught, so it's kind of nice to get out and get that big box of expensive musky lures out and break them in.
My gosh. I know, right? You get bit off. I would tie on those some of those musky baits with like high tension wire. I just steel. Can I get steel? I know you lose one of those big expensive musky baits and it's like you'd have to put a second mortgage on your house or something. That's an expensive fishing hobby, Jamie.
It is, and it's addictive like anything else. You can't have just 10 good lures. You have to buy new ones every year because they're new.
Of course.
And it's ridiculous, and you end up using the same lure all day anyway.
Yeah, and if you got a good one, you got to have a second one, you know, or a third one. You got to have backups, and then right. If there's anybody else in your boat and you catch a fish on one, well, they're going to want to tie on that one or the same color or something like that. So,
yep. Oh, and you don't like changing leaders, so then you have to have five musky rods. And, you know, it's just horrible.
Oh, man. You know, I've never been one of those guys. You know, I've fished my whole life, but I've never taken it. I've never been so serious about it that I've had, you know, five rods for this, five rods for that. But I'll tell you what, now this year I've started buying rods for everything and then tying something on each one that's different. So I have a different rod for everything I do. I get it now, I guess is what I'm saying, Jamie.
Yeah. And with muskies too, you know, one lure might make them fall out of the boat, but they won't bite it. So then you want to have another one available to make them bite, you know, it's kind of like, you know, up in Canada where one lure brings them to the boat and you get them to bite something else. So you want to have something ready.
Yeah. Would you fish like that? You know, when we were on Taz and we were sight fishing those pike, and if we, you know, threw out a big spinner or some sort of big bait and it brought them in and they didn't hit, we dropped a little streamer fly down next to the boat and try to entice them. Would you do that? I don't know why that wouldn't work for muskies too.
Yeah, it would. We did last year. We never really had an opportunity for it to work right, but we always had it ready, you know, because of going up there and learning that.
Yeah. Well, Jamie Dittman, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's in Brainerd. We're talking fishing right now. That figure eight, once I started to get a little bit more serious about catching, you know, big fish, big muskies or big pike or something like that, I got into the habit of figure eighting next to the boat on every cast, Jamie.
Yep. And, you know, I'll do it too, even with pike, and if not a figure eight, make sure you do a long drag by the boat to see if something's behind there. And yeah, definitely. And when you do get one on the figure eight, they're so green that it's a fight to remember.
That's right. You know, when we fished Eagle Lake in Ontario a few years back I went up with Bill Shirk and we filmed for Due North Outdoors. And I remember thinking, you know, we fished for muskies quite a bit. We fished for walleye too and caught some nice walleyes, but we muskie fished a lot. And I never realized just how important that, how you were at the end of your retrieve next to the boat like that, whether it's a long drag or a circle or a figure eight or whatever you do something. And Bill said, yeah, honestly, the majority of my hookups are right next to the boat at that point.
Yeah, it works. And we'll be doing the Frank Schneider muskie tournament again this year. And we'll be doing a lot of muskie fishing for those 3 days.
Tell us about
Mille Lacs has really been heating up. You know, the walleyes and smallies have been kind of slow because we'd have so much rain and the water's really dirty. But the friend was out the other night and got a 47.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I think you should do the Frank Schneider muskie tournament with a 3-foot Snoopy rod.
And you'd probably win.
You got another tournament coming up where you are using those kids' poles, Jamie.
Yep, August 5th on the Mississippi River. We're having the Superhero Rod Tournament for Camp Confidence.
Cool.
And it's families, pontoons, boats, as many people as you can fit in your boat as is legal.
Very nice.
We have a bunch of different divisions. We got some cool prizes. All kinds of local businesses donated stuff. We're going to have food for everybody afterwards, donated by Lake Country Meats, and it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, and this is
a good cause.
For a great cause, and this has been going on for a couple of years now. We've talked about it in the past, and I participated in it a couple of years ago, too, and it's amazing to me because you get some fishing guides, you get some tournament anglers, you get guys that know how to fish, right? They know how to catch fish, and they're out there with these kids' fishing poles. And obviously it's fun, but everybody gets a little competitive. And I caught a walleye on it. I caught a catfish on that rod. I thought I was going to break the rod in half. But there's been some pretty nice fish caught on these little rods, Jamie.
Yeah, there's actually a real tournament a week or two afterwards. And the big fish caught in our Snoopy Rod tournament were bigger than the real tournament as far as bass, pike, and walleye. I mean, that guy brought in a 6-pound walleye. Trolling a bottom bouncer on a, you know.
So the rules are you have to use one of these rods, but what, you can re-spool it?
Yeah, you can put whatever line you want on it. And we did that basically because you're losing lures that cost more than the rod.
Right,
so.
Right.
And yeah, you'll see everything from, you know, a new Ranger bass boat with Snoopy rods on the deck to a fishing boat with five people in there, a family just out having fun. So
yeah, it's great. And the bottom line is it's for Camp Confidence, which is such a great cause. And I got asked to be a part of some events at Camp Confidence this year. Unfortunately, I can't make it. And I wanted to because I really believe in Camp Confidence. I've told this story on the radio before, Jamie, probably when we've been talking about it, but I've known about it for a number of years. I've gotten to be a part of some of the events, the Classic and some of the other things that take place up there. And I got a tour with Bob Slabaugh one time and I was so impressed with him and the facility and just the way the staff interacts with all the people there. It's just a great, great place, a great facility and a great cause, Jamie.
Yeah, you know, and out there, they're not just employees, even the interns and stuff out there. It's in their heart. You know, they work out there. They're devoted to it. They're great with the people that come, and they want to give them experience that they remember forever.
Yeah, of course. Well, tell us again when that Superhero Rod Tournament is.
August 5th on Sunday. If you want to look it up, you can just check out Camp Confidence on their website or Facebook, and they have a link to it, and you can register that day or ahead of time.
That's very cool. And that's at Rice Lake, Lum Park at Rice Lake on the east side of Brainerd there.
Yep, just on the east side right there, and you can fish all of Rice Lake, or you can go up the river or wherever you want.
I'm a little nostalgic. You know, I lived on Rice Lake for, well, it was only for about a year or two. I guess I lived there for about a year or two a couple of years ago, and I miss living on that lake there in Brainerd, Jamie.
You know, it's neat because you can just put a fish house out on the lake, or you can travel up the river all the way to Pine River and further, you know.
Yeah.
It's got everything from shallow water to nice bays for fishing to wild rice for ducks. And
yeah, it's really neat when you get up there. And I know I'd never really spent a lot of time on that stretch of the Mississippi River or even south of there. You know, I just posted that video of fishing with Eric Altena out of his jet boat north of Little Falls chasing smallmouth bass. And gosh, that stretch of the river really from St. Cloud North is such a beautiful piece of riverway. I'm not sure how I'd say that. It's so scenic along the river there. It's really a cool place to go fish.
Yeah, and thinking about that too, I got to give Eric a call. He owes me a trip on his boat.
Well, you should take him up on it because, you know, he says it in the we filmed for Prairie Sportsman. You can see it on the Prairie Sportsman Facebook page right now. We filmed out of his jet boat, and he even says it in the show. Half the fun of fishing up there is just cruising around in that boat because he can go through 3 inches of water in that boat at whatever, however fast we were going, fast, wide open over 3 inches of water, which is just nuts to me.
Well, and it's crazy. I mean, I had his boat in my garage, and my garage is not big. And that little boat fit all the way in my garage, and it's got like a 200 horse. Yeah. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
So that's what I said when I wrapped it. I said, you owe me a ride, too.
Yeah, it's a fun experience. And, of course, we caught, I don't know, we fished for a couple hours, and I lost track of how many fish we caught, 30 or 40 smallmouth, and a couple that were pretty close to that 20-inch mark. So we had a great time out there. Again, you can watch that video on the Prairie Sportsman Facebook page or go to prairiesportsman.org. Just about a minute left here with Jamie Dittman. He's a fishing guide in the Brainerd Lakes area. Did I lose you? Are you still there?
Nope, still there. Still there. Well, speaking of the right boat for the situation, when you go to Lake Michigan, you want to have a big boat.
Yeah, that's right. Jeez, we didn't even get a chance to talk about this yet. You were going to go over there and do some fishing, and got a little rough on the sea. The seas were a little angry.
Yeah, we went out there for a few days, and no boats went out, wind advisories, and we actually tried. Adam Rasmussen took us out and just showed us how rough Lake Michigan actually is. And when you're breaking waves with a 34-foot boat over the bow, it's pretty rough.
Oh, boy. So how big do you think the waves were?
I don't know. I'm going to say they had to be good eights.
Hmm.
Well, we made the best. We went to Whitefish Dune State Park and checked out the cliffs, the waves smashing the cliffs right there. It's just beautiful. And went cherry picking and went to the cheese stuff and just played tourist for a few days.
Yeah, very cool. And I appreciate you not talking to us on the radio with a mouthful of cheese curds like you did last week.
I still got some, though.
Very good. All right, Jamie Dittman, fishing guide, Brainerd Lakes area. Appreciate the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.